virtually none of our church planters had personally ever experienced being intentionally discipled. And consequently, they didn't really know. I mean, they knew academically what it meant to disciple. They didn't know from their own personal experience how to come alongside and walk with other people in faith to grow them up in their maturity. And it was hard for us for a while to kind of figure out, how do we do this? And we realized we have to first disciple people before they're able to disciple others.
Welcome to Discipleship Conversations, a Mission Alive podcast with Jeremy Hoover and Stephen Carazell.
Welcome, everyone. We are picking up with part two of our conversation with Todd Vogt today. If you missed part one of the conversation, I suggest you push pause and go find that conversation, that episode one of our podcast for season three, and listen to that first part of the conversation. As we move on to part two, we'll pick up in the middle of the conversation about the work of Mission Alive, and look forward to hearing more about it. So, Jeremy, how are you doing?
Man, I'm doing good, and I'm glad to be back with part two of this conversation. Todd is a good friend of mine and of yours, and really enjoyed what he had to share about Mission Alive in part one, and looking forward to what else he's going to share here in part two. How are you doing today?
Really good. I'm excited about what part two is about. We're going to be starting off with a couple of topics that are really close to my heart. Just kind of a personal story. When I turned 50, I began to look at ministry a little bit different. There's something about 50 as maybe a barrier. Maybe every decade start is a bit of that. But I began to see retirement a little more clearly. How does ministry and the way I'm doing it end? And so when I turned 50, I started reflecting upon what I wanted ministry to look like. I didn't want to just retire at 65 and then figure out a way to reinvent myself. I wanted to be able to start doing something that I could continue doing just in a different form. And so one of the first people I called was Todd, and he gave me two invitations. One was to the Catalyze Coach certification process that they were doing, and the other was to discipleship cohorts. Those are the first two things that we'll talk about in this interview, picking up from last week. We'll talk about the cohorts and about the coaching. Both those things have been really good for me, not only giving me a vision for what ministry can look like when I'm retired, but has helped me revitalize the way I see ministry right now at this point in my life. So Mission Alive is not just about church planting, although it's a big part of what they do. Mission Alive offers things that help people revitalize where they are right now, even in traditional churches. And I think that's really important.
Yeah, that's a great story, Stephen. Thank you for sharing that. And let's get back to the conversation with Todd.
That's great. So you've mentioned some other things along the way that that kind of integrate with the whole church planting process, but also kind of exist a bit separately for people who want to get involved with that. You mentioned the cohorts, discipleship cohorts, and coaching as well. Discipleship cohorts, that's how Jeremy and I met several years ago. Describe the discipleship cohorts for us.
You know, a few years into planting churches, we came to realize that virtually none of our church planters had personally ever experienced being intentionally discipled. And consequently, they didn't really know. I mean, they knew academically what it meant to disciple. They didn't know from their own personal experience how to come alongside and walk with other people in faith to grow them up in their maturity. And it was hard for us for a while to kind of figure out, how do we do this? And we realized we have to first disciple people before they're able to disciple others. It's not the same thing as teaching a Bible class. That's addressing the head. And unfortunately, a lot of our people that go through seminary, well, they first went through private Christian school and they went to Bible class every Sunday and Bible camp that had Bible classes. And all of that Bible teaching, they never had somebody come alongside and say, come follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. And that's what discipleship is. It's one life inviting one or more people to say, come, let's walk together for a period. And let's see if by walking together, God can't grow us up in some ways. And so we started discipleship cohorts and kind of, you know, I say this partly as a joke, but not entirely. I say, you know, we called it discipleship cohorts only because that's slightly more interesting than just calling it a discipleship group. And we mean that to say that it really is a discipleship group. And we wanted to leave it as generic as possible so that everybody else, once they come through, they kind of brand it in whatever way makes sense for them. So, you know, we've got people that have taken our discipleship cohorts and they got all kinds of different names for it. But it all kind of comes back to this idea of a group of people walking together, learning to listen deeply to God and figure out, how do I live my life as a believer if I'm paying attention to God? And so that's what our cohorts do. And we have three levels. And the first level is I got to come through it just as me. The second level is I go through as a leader and I gather a group of people and I take them through a discipleship process. And then the third level is more for network leaders who are having to raise up other leaders who will then lead these groups. So, you know, somebody who is a discipleship minister at a church or part of a church planting network, and they're having to help that network multiply. And so level three is really more of a multiplicative stage. So that's what the discipleship cohorts are. And I got to tell you, I've been just pleasantly surprised at how successful these things have been, or how many different places are taking them. They're working with them. They're innovating with them. And we're just seeing lots. I mean, we generally assume once you hit the fourth generation, then it's got an energy of its own. It's just going to keep going. And we know of at least six, maybe even seven generations at this point. So this thing is kind of out there like a virus. Virus.
That's another thing that's available right there on the website. We'll add a link directly to the cohorts. Someone can sign up with Mission Alive. And the intention, I believe, is for that person to then turn around and become a leader of cohorts within their ministry context. So while this may be applied to the way church planters are nurtured and then part of their ministry, someone who's part of a traditional church can participate in one of these as well. And whether they're on staff or a part of the church leadership or not, they can participate in that. That's good. We'll talk some more about that. I think one of the things that's talked about a lot with the discipleship cohorts is listening to God, hearing God speak in various ways. And I think that's really important because that's something you mentioned as well as in the discernment process with church planting is hearing God speak. And we'll mention that again later in this conversation, I think, as we kind of get to where we're headed for our season of this podcast season. So you also mentioned coaching. Tell us about that.
So, you know, when I was first brought on to Mission Alive, I was asked to come on as a coach to church planters. And so I kind of had just a little bit of training in coaching prior to that. But I realized I needed to really go get some better training. So I did. And I realized, one, as fast as we were planting churches, I was not going to be able to coach everybody. Second, I realized, man, church planters are not the only ones that need a coach. Anybody in any kind of leadership role or ministry could really benefit from a coach. I mean, I'm a former missionary. I wish I'd had a coach when I was in West Africa. Oh my goodness, I wish I'd had a coach. So we began training people to use coaching in a ministry context. And starting in 2013, we developed our own training that was specific to the kind of ministry that we were seeing our church planters do. And that leaned heavily into the idea that all of us are called to pay attention to what is God saying and how am I going to get on board with whatever it is that I hear God saying. And so we've been training coaches since 2008. We run two cohorts a year. And there's two levels. There's the level of just kind of information, just come to the two-day training lab and read a book and you're done. And then there is the certification level, which includes about 14 hours of practice coaching and working with a mentor coach. It's the difference between learning something with your head and developing the competency. And most people think they can just read the book and do it, and they almost never can. We are so deeply embedded in giving advice that it is very hard without having a mentor coach listening to you and to break our own habits of advice giving. And coaches don't give advice. They don't give the answer. They help leaders. They help leaders succeed and grow. So that's the short of it.
Yeah, that's good. I think that certification process was really helpful to me in my ministry. And I realized that while I had good questions in me, I did have a propensity to dispense advice sooner than probably should have been. And, you know, sometimes advice really is important mm-hmm. to pass on, but a coaching posture is one of those things that if someone leads with that, they can listen better. And probably even once you start giving advice, when that's appropriate, it's better. It's more relevant to the situation because we spent some time listening to the process. And that person who receives that maybe can decipher that advice better for their lives because they've thought about things. That's what the coaching process does, help us think about things better.
I've had somebody come back to me, a guy that's been in ministry for 25, 30 years. And he, after he finished the training as a coach, he just said, man, I'd like to go back 25 years in my ministry and do some things over again, because I would be so much better of a leader if I could go back and with this knowledge and this experience, you know, this competency under my belt. So and that's exactly how I felt. Like, oh my word, I wish I had had this when I was 25 or 30, you know. So.
That's good. I maybe just jump in here with Jeremy, being a church planter, going through the coaching, is just how have you seen this coaching's posture work in your ministry?
Yeah, I think Todd hit the nail on the head with it that man, do I resonate with that guy's comment. I've before I went into church planting, I served as a traditional pastor for about 15 years. And I took the coach training towards the end of that tenure and looked back and thought, man, all I did up to that point was tell people what I think they needed to hear. And something that happened for me through the coach training was when I came back from it, I found myself being more assertive about my own needs in situations. And I don't think that was part of the training, but it was a byproduct of it for me that it helped me lead myself better, which in turn helped me to lead others better. And in the church plant here, man, we have, we'll have a Bible study or something, or we'll ask a lot of the questions that we use in the cohorts, and the participants will ask me questions designed to find out what they think or what I think they should think about something. And I rely on coaching. I flip it around. I ask them, I try to tease out the motives or the values behind what they're asking. I help them to find associations, and just more and more I'm learning the value of asking a question and then having the nerve to be stone silent until they answer it themselves.
One of the things I like about it is Todd, this is something that y'all said in the training, is the trusting the Spirit of God working in other people and not just in me. And so allowing that person to discover the voice of God, leading, prodding by asking questions, you're inviting them to listen to God working in them rather than just depending on me as a leader, as a teacher, as the one who supposedly knows these things. I think that flips that around a bit. Instead of them depending on me, they learn to depend on God in a stronger way.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely.
So y'all have a new book? I say, oh, y'all, yeah. You and Steve?
Yeah, Steve Schaefer, who is our director of discipleship and coaching. He and I have written a book to go along with the coach training that we do. It's really the culmination of what we've done in the training for years, but it allows us to put it in book form, and then the training becomes more practice than just information dumps. So, it just came out on Amazon yesterday, so it's available now. So, Catalyze Coaching, go buy one.
Congratulations on that. So I can just go buy that and start coaching, right?
No. That's just enough to make you dangerous. I remember a Greek professor at Abilene Christian University said, the only thing worse than having no Greek is having 2 years of Greek, because you think you know something you don't really know. So, yeah, the only thing worse than not reading a coaching book is reading one coaching book and then thinking you know everything there is. So, yeah, you need to read the book, but you need to also take the training.
So. I would highly encourage that as well. Mm-hmm. One other thing that Mission Alive does is over the years is church renewal. What does that look like for y'all?
You know, we respond when local churches call us and need some help in a particular way. Most of the time, sometimes it's got to do with discipleship, but most of the time it's got to do with leadership. And we help churches make the transition from being a decision-making body, the churches and church leadership. So think of elder board or something like that, from a decision-making body to a spiritual discernment body. And those are very different. We've been talking about for years, you know, the church leadership board not acting as a board of directors. And many of them have taken themselves out of a conference room and into some more casual setting, but they still behaved like a board in that they just sit around and make decisions. Instead of being a more spiritually discerning board that is more about prayer and spiritual listening, seeking God's will on behalf of the congregation and then modeling that for others in the congregation. So we work with church leaderships to help them step into that a little bit. That's the primary thing we do. We also work in the area of some basic Christian leadership principles that sometimes kind of get lost in the whole move toward becoming a church leader, whether some churches they're trustees, some churches they're deacons, some churches they're elders. But sometimes people get, you know, they're so excited to be asked to be a leader that they kind of forget, you know what, there are some basic leadership principles that probably we need to pay attention to. And so we do that. We work with churches and help them refocus on some basic leadership principles. You know, for example, one of them, we call it the Vanguard principle. And that is We say the Vanguard principle is leaders go first, meaning it's not okay. I know in corporate world and in government and military, it's, you know, you, sometimes you got a guy at the top of the heap and he's just directing what everybody else does. But in the kingdom, it's not okay for leaders to just sit in a room far away and direct what everybody does. If the leaders of a church want their church to be involved in discipleship, the leaders have to be involved in discipleship. That's the Vanguard principle. Leaders go first. If you want your congregation to serve, then leaders have to be out front serving, and then people will follow. And so that's just one principle among many that we talk about to help leadership realize that this is what it takes to lead a congregation spiritually, as opposed to organization, which we seem to have down pretty good. So,
Todd, thanks for sharing all that about Mission Alive. It's an organization, as I've mentioned before, that I've been associated with you guys for probably a decade and involved in different facets. Like, you guys have meant a lot to me and my ministry, have been really influential and helpful. And for me, one of the most important parts of what you unpacked in all of that is that you really have an intersection point for almost anybody that would have a need. Not just a church planter, but somebody that wants to become a better leader can go through coaching, and somebody that wants growth and discipleship can intersect that way. And somebody who thinks that maybe they feel a call to church planting, but they're not sure, can do discernment with you guys, or they can do an outfitter's residency. And so I want to share from my own heart, my own experience, that if you're listening to this and you believe Mission Alive could be a resource or an ally for you, then please reach out. And on that note, I want to talk just briefly, Todd, that, you know, this podcast is part of an initiative that Mission Alive is taking to make your resources more broadly accessible to people. And so you're doing that through a video cast, through this podcast, through a blog. Could you just briefly go through and talk about what each of those things, those three things are, what your purpose is, and how folks can access them?
You know, years ago, we started a blog that is called the Missional Church Planting Blog. And it was a great resource back in the earlier years of Mission Alive. We had Galen Van Reenen, of course, our founder, and any number of our church planters, you know, would write articles on various aspects of missional church or church planting. But in the transition from Galen to me as a leader, I just made the decision it was just not something I had the energy to keep up. But now, several years later, we're in a position where Mission Alive wants to share more of what we have with a broader group of people for whoever may find it helpful. And so we have been planning for some months to reintroduce that missional church planting blog. At the beginning of COVID, I was really struggling with how do I continue to provide content, conversation, dialogue for our church planters first, but also for others that are kind of in different places in the Mission Alive network. And so about a year ago, I started what we're calling Innovative Church Conversations. And it's a monthly or two times a month video conversation with some national or international leader that has somehow influenced us with their innovative thinking, with the depth of their theological, missiological thinking. And so I spend an hour interviewing them with whoever wants to join us. And it's been a lot of fun to just hear from so many different people from all over the United States, for sure, but even all over the world, from all kinds of different denominations. So that's been a lot of fun. And then you guys, like a year ago or more, you guys started this podcast. And here recently, the three of us got together and said, man, maybe we need to make this kind of pull all these things under an umbrella and really allow people to have access to Mission Alive just on different platforms and at different, with different focuses. And so I really appreciate you guys reaching out to me to do that. And I'm excited about this whole Mission Alive media initiative that we've started.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really good. The innovative church conversations have been really helpful. I appreciate that, because for some reason I seem to have ongoing calls that occur at the time that you hold them, but you make them available on YouTube after the fact so that folks can go and watch and listen. And I've done that with virtually all of them, found them really helpful. I think that moving in the direction of making these resources accessible to anybody that can run across them is going to be very helpful. So we'll put links to these things in the show notes. So how you can find the YouTube channel, the podcast, the blog. What are some other ways, Todd, that people can interact with Mission Alive on social media, for example?
Well, let me say this about all these different media platforms. Mission Alive has tried to adopt as much as possible kind of an open source culture, meaning as much as possible, we just want to offer whatever it is that we have, whatever we've learned to people to help them participate in God's mission in whatever way God has called them to. And so pulling these three platforms together and you know, with all of them, we're going to be inviting just all kinds of leaders and speakers and thinkers from all over the world to either write articles or let me interview them or let you guys interview them as a way, you know, we're no longer limited by denominational constraints or by a particular school or university constraints. You know, we're trying to tap into the best people we can find all over the world. And fortunately, God gives us grace and we've been able to interview a bunch of them. So we just want to make that available to be helpful to people in whatever it is that God has got you doing. So yeah, sure. Anyway, I don't know if that was valuable to say, but I really want people to understand we kind of have an open source mentality.
I think that's great. I think that's another thing that's unique about Mission Alive and something that I've appreciated. I remember early on and I was honored to do a discipleship cohort with Galen. And we talked about the information, imitation, innovation triangle. And I think that's what you're describing at the heart of the open source concept is this idea that we're going to teach you some fundamentals. We're going to teach you some values. And then out of that, incarnate something in your own context that makes sense. And I think that's really good. Can folks sign up, Todd, at the Mission Alive website for an email list?
Yeah, there's a contact us section that has various different ways to sign up for a prayer team or volunteer if you want to volunteer and help us in some way. Or if you just want to get information about one aspect or another, coaching or discipleship or church planting, you can identify that there. And that'll hit our database. And then when we're sending out information, you'll get it. And bang, 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 you can sign up for whatever you like.
Sounds good. Stephen, you want to lead us talking a little more about the upcoming season here?
Yeah. I just want to encourage everybody to subscribe to those various things, so you don't miss. You can subscribe to a YouTube channel very easily. You can subscribe to podcasts, and hopefully some of you already done that. You can probably subscribe to the blog as an RSS feed that we'll go to an email, and so you don't miss any of those. And connect on social media with the Facebook for sure. Liking the Mission Alive page and Discipleship Conversations has its own page as well. And so you can catch information that way. We are excited about the upcoming season. With our partnership with Mission Alive, we wanted to start with this partnership with talking to the Mission Alive church planters. Todd, you mentioned 10 or 11 people that are connected with Mission Alive. And so we want to talk with them. We want to introduce them to the listeners. We want to tap into their stories, and we want hopefully their stories to touch hearts in different ways. We were talking about the discipleship cohorts earlier. One of the things that I lock into with the cohorts is that we're talking about hearing God speak through scripture, through prayer, through mission. And I really hope that we hear God speak in these stories as people share their journey. We're gonna ask how they got into church planting. We're gonna ask how they're doing with church planting currently, and we're gonna ask about what discipleship looks like in their context. And so, I'm looking forward to a variety of stories, a variety of ways of making disciples, the way it shapes and forms to a particular context, and listening to the way God has moved and is moving in their lives. Todd, just as you think about the set of church planters that you have, anything that stands out to you that you'd like to kind of maybe lead with here?
You know, one of the things I just love about what God has done in Mission Alive is just the variety of people and churches that have that are connected to the Mission Alive network. We've got all different kinds of church plants. We've got all different kinds of church planters. We're really a diverse community, and I love that. I love the creativity. I love the perspective that gets shared when you get people that just see the world differently together and get them talking about God's mission, and cool stuff happens. And so I think you guys, as you interview them all, you're going to hear lots of different stuff. So and different ways that they got into planting, different ways God is working with them right now, and different ways that discipleship is being expressed in their individual churches. So I'm excited to listen in.
So without saying names, and we'll get to those stories, but maybe you can give us a sense of that variety of the diversity with naming the kinds of contexts that they're in.
Well, sure. So Jeremy is one of our two Canadian church planters. And our other, he's in Ontario. The other one is in Saskatchewan. Jeremy is working in an urban context, but it's mostly a Caucasian urban context, where our other one is working in an urban context, but it's with First Nations people. So just those two church plants, just the two in Canada, are really different from each other. Plus there's an age difference and experience difference between Jeremy and the church planter in Saskatchewan. And then if I add the United States, we've got a church plant that's working among the Lakota Sioux, one of the poorest communities in North America. If not, I mean, maybe only second to Haiti, I believe. We've got a church plant in Maumelle, Arkansas, that is a multi-site. Their whole church probably has 60 people in it, but they're in four locations, and their second largest location is north of London in the UK. It's just this crazy thing that God did by bringing these people together. And their church has been most successful with what we would call de-churched people. So their perception of Christianity is a little different, because most of their people have a fair amount of baggage about church, and they're loving on them and drawing them back into a relationship with God. So that's a little different than, say, our church plant here, one of our church plants here in the Dallas area, that is a missional community type church plant, in which each missional community kind of has its own missional focus and different communities that they're ministering to. So that's what I mean by variety. I mean, we've got racial diversity and geographic diversity, age diversity, church model diversity. You know, it kind of spans the spectrum, if you will. And so it's going to be exciting to kind of hear what you guys are able to pull out of them. So it'll be fun.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing the entry points for each of them into church planting, for the surprises along the way and what they imagined and what they're experiencing, and to hear how disciples are being formed among such a variety of contexts. So that's exciting to hear. Yeah. We'll also dive into Jeremy's story. Looking forward to doing that along the way.
Sounds good.
We'll probably pull you back in, Todd, as a guest questioner.
Oh, I'd love to post some questions to Jeremy.
So maybe we'll call you an interrogator. I don't know, something like that. Yeah. So yeah, we're looking forward to doing that. So that's the exciting part of our, a big part of what our season is about coming up in this, this year. We're looking forward to talking with all of them. And as we do that, you can look for information on our Facebook page. We'll kind of introduce them and point to the website, the episode for each, the website for each episode, and where you can listen or just subscribe, and you can hear it on your favorite podcast listening platform. So we're excited about that. We've got other things in mind for future seasons, and we're excited about our partnership with Mission Alive. Todd, it's been great to have you on as we start this journey to help us to learn a little bit more about what Mission Alive is. I've been part of Mission Alive for a while, or it's been connected with Mission Alive for a while. I should say it that way. Having had Galen as a professor way back in my undergrad days and in my graduate days, and been a part of a church that actually did a church plant for a while with Mission Alive. And I have learned some things here in this conversation. So I'm excited to have done that. Jeremy, any other words as we kind of close this, this episode up?
Just to thank Todd again for your time. It was just like you said, Steve, and I've known Todd for years now, but this was helpful, and I learned even more. I think I believe both of us, all three of us, obviously believe in Mission Alive, and more importantly, the work that God is doing through Mission Alive. And just thankful, Todd, that we could spend this time with you.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me on. I'm excited to partner together with you guys. Y'all are doing great work.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. So yeah, absolutely.
Thanks for believing in our little dream, our proposal, and we're excited for the journey.
Right. You guys take care.
Thanks.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this discipleship conversation. We invite you to share this episode and tune in next time for another conversation. We also invite you to subscribe and rate the podcast through your favorite podcast app. We'd love to hear from you. Send your comments and questions to media@missionalive.org. Check out the episode show notes and learn more about the podcast and other Mission Alive media resources at missionalive.org/media. Intro and outro music is by audionautics.com. Mission Alive works to bring about the holistic transformation of marginalized communities through starting and renewing innovative churches that address the most challenging issues faced by their neighbors. Learn more about what we do and how to connect at missionalive.org.